That's a lot of pressure, though, as a hairstylist sometimes.
Unless you've been doing their hair for 7 years.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, seriously, you'd just be giving her a mullet.
But I said yes. Crazy. We always have to keep passion for what we do in some way, shape, or form.
All right, man. We're live. Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, dude?
What's up, dude? Episode 11.
We're here.
I got that right. I'm excited, man. Episode 11. I like the number 11.
Yeah, double digits are always good, too.
It is.
Yeah. I like numbers in order. Double digits are good. 11 is
one of those numbers. Like, I used to play a lot of poker, and like, there's something about like the individual numbers next to each other that like, I get superstitious about it.
You know?
Like, so when you're playing no limit hold'em or hold'em poker in general, you get dealt two cards, and those first two cards are like very important as to what you
definitely
do the rest of the game. So like numbers like 4 and 2 were always like really nice looking to me. And then if I got like a 7 and a 3, I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Even though those two are probably the same odds.
Yeah. But if you don't like the numbers, you don't like them.
I had to like the numbers.
Just like I want to say that in hold'em, the worst opening hand is a 2 and a 7.
7 deuce.
Yep. Awesome. And 72 is my favorite number.
Ooh, that's a good number. Yeah. I think that's kind of a good looking number, man.
Yeah. So when I get a 7 and a 2, I'm pumped.
Yeah.
And then I actually liked, like, probably 10 years ago when the World Series of Poker got really big on, like, ESPN. The announcers. Yeah, well, I just loved how they had names for everything. So, like, if somebody was opening with, like, a 9 and a 5, they called it Dolly Parton for working 9 to 5. Or, like, the snowmen for 2 8s.
Yeah, 2 4s is sailboats.
Is it? I don't know that one.
Yeah.
It makes sense, though.
Sailboats, yeah.
Yeah, that works for me.
So, 5 5 is speed limit?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would call it the Van Halen.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It should be called the Eddie.
It should be. Rest
yeah.
in peace.
Yeah. R.I.P. Eddie.
Yeah. I actually just turned 43. As you know, we had a really good time for our birthdays. And I turned 43. Terrible looking number. Hate it.
Yeah. Well, it's not quite a sailboat, but next year, you've got a new nickname next year.
Yeah. I'm going to do like a Christopher Cross, like sailing, take me away type of birthday party.
Man, I almost just sang it, and I'm glad I didn't because I can't sing at all. But it's happening in my head right now.
God, I wish you did. Man. I wish you did.
Not happening.
So anyway, we are back. So the last time we recorded a podcast was like, I'm going to say it was 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, my gut tells me it would have been 3, but it's probably 3+.
I think it was 4.
4 is probably more accurate.
Before my sister came to town.
Okay.
We had a really big week that week. And so anyway, we've had so much going on that it's been impossible to record. Like, just the world has had so much going
on. Life is happening.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that, like, my sister came to town. I got engaged.
No shit. That's right. Congratulations, dude.
Thank you so much. Jocelyn and I had our birthdays. We had Halloween and family, and like, your family's in town. And we've been having a blast, though. It's been super fun.
Yeah, life's been good. It really has.
Yeah,
it's been
life's
wild.
Been good. So, and also another good thing that happened in the past week is Highland Brewing Company put out Cold Mountain.
So, yeah, which is a big deal. So, I mean, it's definitely a big deal. When I moved to Asheville, it's been 9 years now, and dude, people freak over Cold Mountain. It's a whole thing.
You know, so for me, I moved here. Wow,
louder, lighter. Like, does every time.
I moved here. Honest to God, I moved here October 26th of 2015. So that was a Sunday, and I met you Monday the 27th.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then that Thursday was the first day of the Cold Mountain release party, which was, I think that's October 30th. So I knew nothing about how big breweries were at all because I came from Atlanta and there was like 2 breweries in Atlanta. And you'd just go get a beer and there'd be some people there, but it was no big deal. But
yeah, the culture here is.
And Cold Mountain was released. And you know, I had some friends that were like, let's go. I was like, okay, I don't know what this is, but I'll go. And so we go, and there's this like crazy reggae band playing, and there's like 500 people at this brewery like for this beer release.
Yeah, you didn't know you were going to like hottest like frat party. I mean, that's,
man, I
that's
had no idea what I was getting into. It was crazy. And there was like grandparents, grandkids, like all different ages of people. Like I remember walking through the crowd and like people were like, yeah, can you taste the coffee notes? And like all that, like it was kind of crazy. I was like,
yeah,
this is like kind of unusual.
You're like, it's beer.
But it was kind of cool.
But it's more than beer. It's a culture.
Well, it was kind of cool to see all like the kids running around, how big of a family affair it was, and like how families are sitting there kind of partying and drinking beer. And there's like reggae bands just jamming out. And like it was normal Thursday night in Asheville.
Right. Exactly. I was like,
that's pretty rad.
As dope. You know,
like Cold Mountain is not necessarily my type of beer, like because I like a different flavor usually. But I get down on it every year. I always get it.
Yeah. Well, let's lean in and cheers on this one before we taste it.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's the 2020 edition.
Yeah. All right. We're kind of far apart, so that takes some
effort. Yeah, for real. I have to readjust.
Yeah. So anyway, shout out to Highland. We've drank your beer multiple times on the podcast, I believe.
Yeah, Highland rules. Shout out to
Nikki at Highland.
She's what's up, Nikki? Mars. Nikki She's Seven. Awesome. That's what Nikki I call
seven.
Her.
Seven. Yeah. That's a great name,
isn't it?
So it says it's it says to tap into the holidays with notes of vanilla, hazelnut, dark fruit, and cinnamon.
All right, so let's do it. Turn it up. It.
Let's see. Could be a little bit colder, but it's not too bad.
Yeah, ironic, cause the name is Cold Mountain. It could be colder, though.
I know, but I got out of the gas station today, and the lady was like, it literally just walked in five
rolled off the truck.
So this is as cold as I could get it.
Dude, this stuff always tastes like a donut to me.
Yeah.
Like, it really tastes like a donut.
Yeah, kind of does. It's good, though. I feel like it usually has a little bit more bite to it.
Yeah, maybe this if it is was a little colder.
Bit smoother than.
Yeah, this is easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like they took a Highland or a Highland Gaelic Ale, which is their flagship, and put Krispy Kreme icing in it.
I see that. I can feel that.
I'm into it.
So it's a spiced winter ale is what it's called. It's 5.9% alcohol. So anyway, good times.
Good stuff. Howlin' Wolf. There's a Howlin' Wolf on the front of it.
Yeah, there is.
I like that. And snowflakes.
Man, I can't tell you how good it is to be back recording some podcast time.
Right? Yeah, I'm ready for it.
It's been so long. So, what's going on with you, man? How's life behind the chair?
I mean, it's life.
Yeah.
I mean, things are so crazy right now. Life is so crazy. Like, I know just a couple minutes ago, I was like, yeah, everything's good. And it is. Like, don't get me wrong, but... You know, it's like we're in this perpetual COVID motion where we're just like going through the steps and trying to kill it and make the most out of every single day. But, you know, things have been good. But, you know, like behind the chair for me, it's like it's felt a little just like I'm getting at it, just like a little mundane, a little like, you know, bolts and screws, making sure people have their gray covered, making sure people are getting cut. But
yeah.
I don't know. It hasn't been exciting for me the last couple of weeks.
You know, it's kind of weird to think that like we opened back up on June 1st. So we've been open like 5.5 months now.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy to think about.
Isn't that weird to think about?
Well, it's kind of crazy that we shut down at all. And like, it's crazy that we're having a conversation about how long we've been reopened. But it is weird that it's been that long and we're still in this like limbo.
Yeah. I know it seems like this perpetual conversation, not to use that word too much, but like it really is like kind of just going through the motions.
Yeah.
A lot. And it's kind of strange. You know, on Instagram, I continuously see people posting pretty much the same images. Just there's a mask on their face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which I do dig the masked photos.
I do, but like as an artist, man, I like have a hard time with it. I was driving home from work today and I had one new client today and I never got a chance to see her face.
Yeah, that's hard.
And yeah, it just kind of struck me. It's like, man, that sucks. Like I really want to like, cause every time, literally every time somebody comes in that's new, and like I want to see their face, and I've asked them before, and I know that this is like at right now with the cases rising, I don't even want to do that. But like in the past, I've been like, let me stand really far back and then take your mask
down, so drop
it, see your face for a second, and then just put it right back. And every time they do that, I'm like, holy crap, their face is way different than I expected.
Yeah,
you know? And so I had that thought today, like, damn it, man, I just really want to see their faces.
Well, I mean, there is something to be said, like, especially in our line of work, it's so visual, you know? And like, when you look at editorial work that hairstylists do, that's so amazing. It's based off of bone structure.
Yeah.
It's like, the hair is great, don't get me wrong, but it's how the hair plays on the face.
I think that's how
that makes it look so good. And we don't have the opportunity to do that right now.
No, it's tough. I think it's the same thing for so many different types of art that rely on the body, you know, like tattoos. Like, I love different types of tattoos, but like, you could put the same tattoo on two different people in two different locations, and I'm going to like it better in one than I am in the other.
Well,
just to play off the shape of that person and also the placement of it.
Which makes a tattoo artist next level compared to somebody else, is when they know how to do that. Mm-hmm. And when we make hair look really, really good, it's that. It's based off of the jawline, cheekbones, where that fringe sits. Do they wear glasses? Do they not? And you, all of a sudden you have overgrown hair, glasses on, a mask, and you're like, I don't know what you look like. There's a lot going on there. Let's get you to the next appointment.
I will say, though, that, like, I mean, we've talked about it so much, like, people coming back with, like, crazy amounts of hair. This crazy grown out hair stuff doesn't get old for me at all. I kind of love it.
Yeah, no, it's been fun for me.
My clients come back and they look crazy as hell, and I get to cut it all off and make them like look totally different, like big transformations.
Well, it makes our job so much easier. You know, like when you have somebody that only comes in twice a year, you know, or they've been through this COVID madness or whatever it is, and it's like, they're like, oh my gosh, this is such a big difference. And it's like, well, you made my job easy because you looked insane when you came in.
It's kind of the same thing as humble hairdressers, like when we're doing homeless haircuts, you know?
I'm yeah.
Like, you get to see the same like type of like transformations, you know?
Yeah, like it has to be dramatic. If you've gone that long and you're in a hard situation and your hair is out of control, I don't want to say that like what we do doesn't have meaning, but like as soon as you do something, it's a huge change.
Huge change.
Yeah.
I had this kid day before yesterday. He's in college, and he's actually doing like everything online, but he's not leaving his house at all. Like, he just like basically does his classes. He plays video games, and then occasionally he goes outside to see sunlight. But like, I haven't cut his hair in 6 months, and he came back and he was like, actually 5 months, because I cut his hair the first week we're open.
Okay.
He came back and he has this like crazy thick curly hair. His hair, I'm not kidding, was 6 inches off of the top of his head. It was that like froed out. It was awesome. And I was like, really? You want to cut this? You sure?
Yeah. You're like, keep it.
Yeah. He looked like the guys in that band At the Drive-In, you know, from back in the day. Like, he looked awesome. I was like, dude, let's do something different. He's like, nope, cut it.
Yeah, cut it. Yeah, I had a dude come in last week, and same thing. It had been like probably 5-6 months. It was actually, it was Val's dude, Todd, a.k.a. Thor.
He has amazing hair, by the way. He really
does. Dude's hair is out of control.
Cool hair.
And just like a exceptional human being as well.
Awesome. Do you get his blog stuff?
No.
Yeah, so he has a blog and he sends it out on email. So I'm on his email list, so I get it.
Oh, man, I feel bad. Sorry, Todd.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, but Todd, it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, but like every time I cut his hair, it's like a massive change. Yeah. And he's always like so grateful and so into it. And I'm like, well, dude, you made it easy because you let your hair grow and it gets out of control. And then all of a sudden I give you a haircut and it's like, no matter what, it's going to look better.
Yeah.
It's going to look good.
What is it about cutting off like 2 inches that's so much more like fulfilling than half an inch?
I guess.
What I mean?
Well, I mean, honestly, the shape changes.
Yeah.
That's that's what it comes down to. Like a, like people always ask us like, oh, I'm just getting a trim. Is it the same cost? It's like, yeah, I still have to cut every single hair on your head. But for there to be a big change is when there's a change in shape.
Yeah.
And there's a length that it comes at, you know?
I think when I first started doing hair, that was like the hardest thing was actually changing the total shape of somebody's haircut.
Oh, like, that's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah. I could follow lines all day long, but like I was so intimidated as like a brand new stylist to change the shape.
Yeah.
And that
big time,
took a little
me too.
Time for me, you know?
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. It was like when I was a baby hairstylist, when people would come in, they're like, follow the cut I had. I liked it. Mm-hmm. Or the cut you gave me last time was good. Follow, you know, I would just follow it.
Yeah.
And just try to cut a consistent amount off in each area. But to build a new shape is where, like, that's where the magic happens. That's where, like, totally. Good haircuts come from. And that's what makes drama, mm-hmm. you know, good drama.
Yeah, totally. And, I mean, it's one of those things, too, that, like, time just builds that, like, normal intuition into, like, how you can change things. Like, because nowadays, man, I'm kind of a sloppy cutter. I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't really necessarily want to teach some of my techniques to other people because I'm like, this is just intuition at this point.
Right, like you're just doing it.
Yeah, you know, like my mentor, Jameson, back in the day used to say, like, if you want to cut a shape that looks like an elephant, cut off everything that doesn't look like an elephant.
Yeah, makes sense.
And like when I was just cutting hair, I was like, that makes no sense to me at all.
Well, it makes total sense, but it's impossible to visualize if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. But over time, it does make sense. Because like over time, you get to a point where like you can just kind of like cut, you know, instinctually.
Yeah.
You know, but like I definitely have haircuts that I do that are like super detailed, hard line, technically perfect. And then I have a lot of everyday haircuts that are not that way at all.
Yeah.
You know,
have we ever talked about it? Or have I ever told you the story about the time that I was living in Jackson Hole and I was watching a guy with a chainsaw and he was
cutting hair?
No, I wish that'd be a fun direction yeah. to go. no, it was this artist and he had a chainsaw and he was carving these logs and he was carving like bears and like all sorts of weird stuff. And I had this moment where I was watching him just remove wood from this log and all of a sudden this like bear showed up. You know, because he was carving it. Hmm. And I was like, wow, that bear was living inside that log the whole time. And this guy, yeah, he had to remove all these other things. So that's how I look at like building new shapes now sometimes. When somebody comes in and they have longer hair and they want to go to like into a bob or like really actually more like a pixie cut, it's like that cute haircut is already there. Hmm. You have to remove all this other stuff so that you can see it.
Totally. That's awesome, man. Yeah, I feel the same way. And like you used the term one time that kind of like stuck with me, chip away.
Okay.
You said that one time years ago. I think at the end of a haircut, like you had blown it out or finished it. And you're like, so now I'm just going to like chip away to get to what I want to have at the end. I was like, that's kind of cool. Because like you think about that and that like kind of references like somebody sculpting like a piece of marble yeah. or something like that. Like that makes so much sense that you're just going to chip away the things that don't need to be there.
Yeah. You know? Which is really ultimately like fine tuning is what like where all the magic happens. I'm glad that I was accidentally prolific in that moment. Yeah. And was able to bust that out.
I'm not even sure that was an accident. I mean, I do think it was a prolific statement. I think it was awesome.
Well, like, appreciate it, dude.
Yeah.
The one I've been working on lately or that I've been using and it comes from one of my clients. She asked me to nibble on her fringe. Like, I realized how that just sounded when it came out. And when I say fringe, it means bangs.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, her bangs, like, I finished her haircut. Mm-hmm. But
kind of like having a foot fetish, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. A fringe nibbler. But a lot of times I will, like, sometimes I'll build structure into a fringe while it's wet, but I like to style it. And then at the end, and I was like, you know, I was like, at this point, like, her haircut was done. And I was like, I really like that your fringe is longer like that. It looks perfect to me now. You're not going to come back for 7 weeks, so it's probably going to be annoying. Mm-hmm. Are you cool with it longer? And she was like, maybe you could just take a nibble off of it. And I was like, I'll totally nibble.
What a great term.
Yeah. So I've been using that lately, and I really like it.
I like it, too.
As creepy as it sounds, I'm into it.
It does. It's going to be you're going to have to be careful with that.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, man, that's funny. It's so funny to take some of the things that we say out of the context that we say them in. So,
well, dude, anything taken out of context can get crazy. But
I know, but like us especially.
Yeah, specifically being a fringe nibbler. Yeah, you're right.
So I don't want to get too far into this podcast before we talk about a couple of things. Like, you know, something that happened to me, and I know you know a lot about this topic, is that like I had the awesome experience of being able to do my sister's hair while she was in town.
Yeah.
And so,
dude, I was so excited to meet Blake.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a long time coming. You've always talked about her and, it was cool. We had a sister swap in your backyard.
Totally,
Again, something taken out of context. I'm fucking horrible. But what I mean by that is, like, you and I have been friends for a long time.
Yeah.
We obviously have family members that mean a lot to us, and we talk about them a lot. And we literally, in the same night in the backyard, you met my sister and I met your sister.
Yeah.
That was really fucking cool.
Yeah, and
unexpected.
It was super powerful, I think, in both directions. Like, we had some really great times, good conversation, and it was awesome. It was really awesome, you know?
Absolutely.
So, on October 28th, my sister came to town here in Asheville. My sister lives in Olympia, Washington, and she is trans, and she made the transition to female about a year ago. And so this is the first time we got to hang out together as, you know, her as a female.
Right.
And so we hung out about a year and a half ago, and she was like in the middle, like on hormones, but not transitioned to a she yet. And so this was like super powerful, awesome. My stepdaughter and I went to the airport and picked her up, and it was like awesome. My, you know, my stepdaughter just like latched onto her like it was nothing.
Yeah, they were like, you said they were homies, like from the get.
They were like close from the rip. It was awesome. So Blake, my sister, is quite possibly one of the kindest human beings you'll ever meet in your life.
Like, I can second that.
100%.
Dude, big time.
Not a bad bone in her body. Would never, like, purposely do any harm to anything in this world. Like, she's just that kind of amazing person. I love her to death, like, through and through. And so her coming here was awesome. She's never been asked.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's her first trip here, too.
Yeah, first trip. So we did all, like, the touristy things. We went to the Biltmore House. We did a couple hikes. We went all around town. We ate a bunch of different things. We did a little haunted, like, ghost tour downtown. So we did a lot of cool stuff. But the biggest thing was the Saturday she was here, I did her hair. So we went into the salon, and I'm not going to lie, this is like the most high pressure situation.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I didn't ever
felt
like I was in.
Let's go on record. Something that is very real for hairstylists out there is doing your family's hair.
Yeah.
It's a brutal thing. Like, we love all of you family members, and we really do kind of travel with our tools.
Yeah.
Everyone assumes that we're going to have them and we're going to cut, you know, their hair and their kids' hair and all the stuff. And, you know, no joke, we're happy to do it. But doing family hair is always the scariest thing.
It's tough, you know, because, like, if you have a client that comes in that doesn't necessarily agree with the work that you did, you don't see the same vision or whatever, they might just leave and go somewhere else. And it's no hard feeling.
Yeah, there's no, whatever. You're not going to have Thanksgiving with them.
That's the problem with family.
Like, for real.
You know, is that, like, they're, a lot of the time, too, it's like, they're the ones getting, you know, the Friday at 9 p.m. haircut, you know, like after you've done 45 clients in a week, you know.
Yeah, or the kitchen cut.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is.
But there is so much pressure for us because it has to be good. Like,
but the thing that, and I don't want to, like, jump into your story, but the thing that feels different about this one is that it was also a big deal because it was the first time that you were doing your sister's hair.
Yeah.
Somebody that's always been your brother, you know, and now it's your sister. So high pressure times 10.
Yeah.
But also, like, sweet and special times 100.
Yeah. And I think I want to make sure that, like, I really portray that. Like, I explain that. Like, I felt like this humongous sense of honor.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be able to do that, you know,
yeah.
Because now, Blake, I cut Blake's hair. The only other time I've ever cut Blake's hair was in 2014, I think it was 14. And Blake was military, so Blake had never gotten an off-base haircut since she was, like, 18 or something like that.
Oh, no way. So the salon experience was new no matter what.
The salon in Atlanta, and I cut her hair, you know, as a male, cut his hair, and that was the first time, you know, Blake had ever had a salon haircut. So that was kind of a big deal. So, like, on my Facebook feed, there was a picture of me and Blake, and it was it was cute. Like I was like, you know, spraying hairspray over Blake's hair and blah, blah, blah. But
was it still like a high and tight?
No, it was more of like a soft fade, like a one fade with like a part line.
Okay.
Not even a carved in part line, just a soft part line.
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah. Real classic shape. But this time, so Blake and I have been talking about her hair for a while. So, like, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, Blake was like, so what should I do with my hair? I was like, well, grow it out first. Yeah. Just grow your hair.
Yeah. Get some length on it.
Yeah.
Step one.
Blake's hair was kind of thinning at the time, you know, like kind of male pattern baldness type of thinning. And I'm not even, I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen anybody grow their hair back like this. But I will say that, like, it's phenomenal. Like, so Blake, I told Blake, I said, use Nizoral shampoo, do Rogaine, and then take your hormones, and that should be fine. You know, don't do the, what is the other pill thing?
Like minoxidil?
No. It's, I can't remember the name of it, but it's the pill you can take. It's a prescription.
Okay.
But anyway, don't do that.
Huh? Okay. Biotin?
No. Oh, I did say biotin too.
Yeah, so biotin does help.
All those things, did that, and I think she also used Nioxin shampoo and conditioner. You guys can go ahead and send me a gallon of those. But anyway, did all those, and strangely, I've never seen anybody grow hair back. I've just never seen it happen. Like,
well, yeah, she's got a great head of hair, dude.
Yeah, like, and now she has hair down below her collarbone, full head of hair. It's amazing. And, you know, and she and I would text back and forth, and it was pretty funny because like a year and a half ago, Blake's like, what should I do with my hair? And so Blake has level 7 ashy hair. That's like,
yeah,
you know, your standard, like kind of dishwatery hair.
Yeah, totally.
So I was like, well, what about going blonde? She's like, no, I'm not a blonde. I do not want to be a blonde. I was like, okay.
Until she's a blonde.
I was like, yeah, all right, yeah, whatever. And then I was like, well, what about some bangs? No, I'm not going to do bangs. Whatever. I just, you know, I'm like, well, what do you want to do? And Blake just didn't really know. And I get that. Like, you know, like she really wants to be kind of a low maintenance type of girl. You know what I mean? Like not anything that requires a tremendous upkeep.
So, yeah, makes sense.
You know, I was just like, okay. But if there's one thing that's for sure in my family is that Malassons have gigantic foreheads.
Okay. So, got the 5 head?
Yeah, we've got 5 heads.
Okay.
So anyway, and I have a funny picture of Blake and my mom from that Sunday, actually, sitting next to each other with their bangs.
No way.
I'll get to that in a second. So anyway, so Blake came in, and, you know, I was like, well, we should do bangs. And so she's like, okay, you know what? I think I've come to terms with this. Let's do some bangs. And I was like, I also think we should do a lot more blonde. And I think she was a little bit edgy about that. She'd had some people do highlights in her hair back home, but they were kind of budgety highlights. I mean, they weren't bad, but they just weren't. They were just standard
foils. Yeah, not right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not, they're just root-to-end foils, you know. They're just stripes through the hair. So I was like, I want to do some balayage. So I actually, I did a level 6 base color. So I richened up the base a little bit.
Does she have gray, or did you just want to drop
some? Very something? Minimal.
Gray. You just wanted to drop a base on there?
I just wanted to drop a rich base in there.
Okay.
I did get rid of some. So I did a 20 volume level 6 base.
Okay.
I put a little gold in there too. So I made it real rich, and I did cancel out a little bit of gray, but like, honestly, I have like 5 times as much gray as Blake does.
So the point was to like put some depth in.
Put some depth there. Also, yeah, to give some contrast to what I was going to do with the ends.
Right. Make the highlights, yeah, pop.
So
gotcha.
I balayaged every bit of the ends, you know. And so I had a really good contrast from root to end. And then I threw in like what I would consider a heavy fringe, you know, on her.
Yeah.
You know, a straight bang.
Heavy, yeah, fringe. Fair enough. I would say it's, yeah, like a full.
Yeah, full
cross like the eyebrows.
Very fine hair, so I really had to kind of go deep on the setback of that bang. So I had to really bring in a bunch of it. But I mean, it turned out great,
dude. Yeah, those like pictures. Well, the thing that was cool too is like sitting around a chimney on the back porch like the night before. Yeah. And like you guys, like, I don't even know if you remember, but you guys had the cutest consultation ever, like talking about it, like drinking on the back porch. Yeah. And then like, I just went about my business. And then the next day, all of a sudden, like I started seeing all these pictures pop up on Instagram, and it was like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
Yeah, it did look so good. I'm so happy. And you know, it was such a great trip. Like she was so stoked. I actually had these like made in England Doc Martens that never worked for me.
Yeah.
Like,
you've talked about them.
It's been sitting on the, like on the shelf. And I was like, and she was like, I need some 10 hole Docs. And I was like, you know what? I got these dope ass like handmade ones. Do you want them? And so she took those and like, so like she's been sending me pictures like from back home, like doing her bangs every day, and then like pictures of the Doc Martens every day.
Dude, so you gave those Docs to her?
Yeah.
Because I remember we had a conversation about those a long time ago, and I hope you enjoy them, Blake, but I would have worked you to let me have those.
Yeah, but you already got yours.
I do. And the thing that was funny about it is that I actually almost commented on her Insta because she posted a picture of her Docs one day.
Yeah.
And as I like saw the post, I looked down and I was wearing the same boots. And I did send something. I don't remember, but I was like, look at us. Look at us.
That's awesome.
Rocking the same boots right now.
Yeah, they just don't work for my feet for some reason. I don't know what it is. Like, those made in England Docs, like the leather is so thick, they're really hard.
Yeah, they're stiff.
It just didn't work for me. I don't know. So she's super stoked on them, though. Like,
yeah,
you know, man,
it's awesome.
But
dude,
like, I don't know, that whole experience of doing her hair and just having her here and like having her be part of my family and all my friends and.
Well, and having her be herself.
Having her be herself.
That's the big deal. You know, because.
You know, huge deal.
Yeah, because like. Like for a long time, I remember like you were like would refer to her as your brister.
Yeah.
You know, and that was like a thing. So it was like your brother, sister that was transitioning. Yeah. Like, so I guess for me, it was like I didn't know exactly who I was going to meet. Mm. And I met a woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, and it was really cool to see that.
I kind of felt the same way, too. Like, and then when she came, I was like, all right, this is it.
Yeah.
Like,
all in.
I mean, yeah, you 100%. Like you passed. Like you're. You're, like, she's a beautiful woman, man.
Yeah.
She really is. And, like, it was just awesome. Like, there's a picture on my Instagram of Ruby, my stepdaughter, braiding Blake's hair.
Yeah, that was like, cutest shit ever.
Ruby's sitting on the couch.
I, like, puked in my mouth a little when you posted that.
God, man. It's like a heart. You know, it's tugging at your heartstrings on that one. It's like, oh man, that was on a Sunday morning. It's like no better time than a Sunday morning
for a picture like that. Of course. You know what I mean? Yeah, that lazy, awesome. Lazy Sunday.
Yeah, so it meant a lot to me. It was really cool. So it was a good trip. I'm so glad you guys got to hang out.
That meant
a lot.
Like you said, you were honored to do her hair. I was honored just to be part of all of that.
Yeah.
You know, to be here for it. It's a good crew.
So that weekend was pretty outstanding. That was Halloween, and it was the calm before the storm.
And hold on, let's not discount the fact that you came on the lion costume.
Oh yeah,
like sitting around the fire with the lion costume. That was what's up.
I'm pretty sure. So I have a lion onesie. Ruby was from the
it was Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz, yeah. So she was.
I guess I don't know because Nina was Toto, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then was Ruby Dorothy?
Dorothy, yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, so she was Dorothy. I was the lion, and Jocelyn was the Wicked Witch, and which that was the next day after that party that you guys were at. But I got this onesie off of Amazon for $30. That was just a zip-up onesie lion costume with a hood on it. It's the greatest costume I think I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, and
because it's warm
and totally questionable around a fire pit, though, because that shit is straight polyester. Yeah, dude, you'd be up in flames.
To be careful.
Yeah,
but it's a great costume. So that was a lot of fun. And I wore it two nights in a row. Drank way too much two nights in a row.
Yeah,
it was super fun.
And you'll wear it many more times.
I will. It's going in the it's going in the closet. It's definitely coming out probably every year. So it's a good one. So pretty stoked. But yeah, that weekend was awesome. It was a ton of fun. We did a little bit of Halloween the next day just in our neighborhood. And So it was cool.
That's a weird thing in times of COVID, too, is like Halloween was weird this year.
Super weird.
You know, so like I know a lot of people are doing like candy shoots, yep. you know, from like decks and stuff. It's just such a weird time.
We did just the houses that had candy in our neighborhood. So our neighborhood has a bunch of kids in it. So we're a classic trick or treating neighborhood. But the houses that had candy just left their lights on with a bucket of candy out. And that's it. And there may have been a total of 20 kids that went around the neighborhood, which there would normally be 50. You
know? This is like, yeah, this is the year it made sense to put the full-size candy bars out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, go big.
Anyway, so that was good. I had my whole family here that weekend, and then the next week was the election, which was crazy. So I think
dude, that's something still crazy,
like,
dude.
Totally wanted to talk about is like not anybody's particular stance on the election, because you know whatever that it doesn't matter. But like as a hairstylist, we get so many people with so many different opinions, and we have to tread so lightly on everything.
Yeah, and that's where like I mean like on the podcast here, like we have our beliefs. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm not afraid to say what they are, but for the most part, we're going to stay neutral because we're reasonable people. And, but what that leads into is that behind the chair, we have to be really neutral.
Yeah.
And it like this election has been so contested, so volatile. It's brought out the worst in people, you know, like I'd love to say it's brought out the best, but that's not the case. It's definitely brought out the worst.
Yeah.
And like, that's the thing, man. It's like really hard to be behind the chair and have somebody that you disagree with standing up on the soapbox.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you don't want to be a dick and you want to listen to them and you want to, you like, I don't care if I disagree with you or not. Like, I still care about you as a human because I'm not a dick. But sometimes people come across and it's hard to not lash out at them. Yeah. And we have to do that though. And then like, we're in this little like liberal bubble over here in Western North Carolina. Like we're the blue county surrounded by red, and we have to be careful too, to not make assumptions that everybody thinks the same that we do, because we are in this little bubble. It's like walking on eggshells. Yeah. It's a hard thing.
Yeah. Well, and personally, like I have these beliefs, like I vote a certain way right now, but I voted multiple different directions in my life and I have different views on different topics, which these days is kind of a weird thing. So
right.
These
days, yeah, now you have to vote on.
It's like you're on the party line, even if you don't agree with it, which is not the way I see it. I disagree with both sides quite often. But it's amazing to me how people just assume which side I'm on.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're completely, totally wrong, you know? And it might even be both directions sometimes. But, like, I do get people that just, like, make this crazy assumption that I might think this way. And they say something, and I'm like, whoa, that's, like, totally not what I would expect, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's kind of funny, like, people, I think, like us, we are around so many people all the time.
Yeah, we're around everybody.
I communicate with a tremendous amount of people every single day that, like, some people come in and they just, they have this, like, stream of information coming to them that's very small, and they think maybe that everybody else is getting the same
information. Well, yeah, consumes what they do.
Yeah, like I had this lady in Atlanta, I remember one time, that said one of the most racist things I've ever heard in my life. And I was like, and she thought it was normal. And I was like, whoa, that was crazy. Yeah. And I was just like, bit my tongue and walked away. And I was like, and I thought to myself about that, like she was an older lady, she was probably 80s. And I was like, she just doesn't have like experience around the rest of the world that I'm experienced with, you know?
Well, she doesn't have social awareness.
No.
Of, like, what the world's really like. And that's the thing you have to remember. Like, we have, you know, 40 to 50 minimum unique exchanges with people every week.
Yeah.
You know?
And we work next door to a restaurant, too, which is kind of crazy, because I see people at the restaurant all the time, and I talk to them, too. Talk to all the people at the salon. Like, and you're right, we do have intimate exchanges with at least 30 people a week.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of people. What? Yeah. Like if it wasn't COVID times, it'd be more like 60 or 70 a week.
Oh, exactly.
You know, but right now it's, yeah, I would say 40 is probably a good average. And if you look at the law of averages, if you're talking to 40 people, this is a very like polarizing time in America. Mm. And people think so strongly one way or the other. And there's just a lack of moderation right now.
Yeah,
so it really is. Our job like is really not like, I don't know. I get torn on this. It's like part of me thinks my job is to stand for what I believe and be who I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm always going to do that. And I'm always going to be who I am. But we have to remember that we're offering a service, mm-hmm. and we're service based, and we're going to have people that I have people that come to me that I fucking hate.
Yeah.
You know, and I have people that come to me that I'm absolutely love.
Yeah.
And the thing that's important as a, like a hairstylist is that I don't treat them differently. I'm going to jam with one more than I do with the other. But at the end of the day, I still have to do my job.
Yeah.
I still have to take care of people. And when I talk to people that I don't agree with, I love that. Mm-hmm. Like, I love having those awkward conversations. I've always loved to talk about religion and politics. It's volatile. Mm-hmm. But if you approach it with an open mind and an understanding that this person believes something and it's okay for them to believe that, then it's never going to get ugly.
Yeah.
And that's really, to me, like what like America is all about. You know, that's,
I mean, I think that, but the two of us are, and I'm going to brag on the two of us for 1 second. And I don't normally do this. I feel somewhat humble most of the time, but I think the two of us are very good at talking to people about a volatile situation and not putting in a very strong opinion, you know? And
yeah, we can both
in a different direction.
We can diffuse.
Yeah, we can.
And we can also chameleon.
Yeah.
You
well,
know?
Well, that's what I do. I chameleon. Yeah. Well, and I play Switzerland, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
play the middle. Like, so I had this lady that came in the other day. This is really funny. So I will say she has a slight amount of dementia.
Okay.
Just a slight. She's a sweet woman. She is very Republican. And she has some very strong views. And I'm not going to say that I don't agree with some of them, but some of them I don't. Like, it didn't matter. But, like, I knew she wanted to get into politics. And the problem was that, like, I was around a lot of people. And so she wanted to, like, be like, what's your opinion? What's your opinion? And I kept kind of dodging, you know, like.
So it's like a two-tiered thing. It's like, not only are you figuring out how to attack this one-on-one conversation, mm-hmm. but you also have to be conscious of what's going to happen well, yeah, with everybody around you.
Too. It's like, we're at
dude, that's tough. That's tough. Time,
and she's being kind of loud. And so I didn't want to like anybody else to have to like, you know, hear a conversation that they're going to be uncomfortable with. So I kept saying, you know, well, it's not something like I really care that much about, because I don't feel like your happiness is going to be fulfilled on either side of the spectrum. And I kept saying stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
And at one point we got up from the shampoo bowl and she turns on, she goes, Jay, at some point in your life, you're going to have to get in touch with your feelings. I was like, what? She was like, and I just kind of stood there like a deer in the headlights. She's like, you're going to have to figure out what you like and don't like in life.
Well, and but the reality is that you know what those things are. You're just what not sharing reality, it with yes, her.
I just didn't say yeah.
Yeah, you're just like, you know, like, you're like, no, I'm not dealing with you right now.
Yeah, so, you know, I avoided that whole thing. But, man, like, it's one of those times right now where it's like people sit down at the chair. I go, hey, how's it going? It's okay.
Yeah.
Ugh. God, and it's like over and over and over.
Yeah.
Like,
what does that mean?
Hey, what you been up to? Nothing. What you watching on Netflix? Oh, I've been watching this and that. You know?
Yeah, everyone's got a Netflix queue.
You know, everybody knows all about Netflix right now. But, like, you know, it's tough, too, because it's like, you know, almost every conversation can bring up some sort of opinion that might be, you know.
Yeah, I feel like.
It's their belief, you know.
Yeah, this is one of the most tumultuous times in my life.
Yeah.
And I mean, it just is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'm an optimistic person. Maybe I just roll with the punches, but
you totally are.
Yeah. It just like, it is what it is. And I'm not afraid to talk to anybody about anything but it's irritating to me that other people want to suck the life out of other people. Like, that's the thing that gets me, is like, why are you trying to be a Debbie Downer? Why are you trying to be a turd right now? You know, it's just like, if we can all just band together and keep chunking along, like, life's going to suck less than it did a little bit ago. And if it sucks more for you, then things are going to change 4 years from now. You know, it's just progress, man. This is like evolution. We're here on this planet as a group of people, and that's all I know.
Yeah.
It was just a meat covered skeleton hurling through space at a fucking crazy velocity.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I feel like sometimes we forget the fact that we're actually just animals.
Yeah.
We really are.
We're
animals.
Yeah. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we're just evolved primates.
Yeah. We're things that stood up a little taller.
Yeah.
You know, over time.
Yeah, we lost some of our hair and got better thumbs.
Much better.
Yeah, now we cut hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. Weird.
Our thumbs now can fit into some shears.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy, man. So, anyway, like, we haven't talked much about trends, I don't think, lately. No, have we talked about trends most lately?
I mean, I feel like we do every episode, but
touch on it a little bit. It's super exciting these days.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I was like, I don't know, dude. It's like, I don't want to say that COVID's sucking the life out of everything, but
no.
You know, trends are weird right now. Trends are
the coolest haircut you've done lately.
Oh man,
that's a tough one, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's probably not. I just haven't been able to collate all my haircuts in my brain in this moment right now and pull it out. But what is the coolest haircut that I've done? I mean, you know that I love short hair. I've done some cool short haircuts lately.
Totally.
Those are always experimental. You know, like last week, actually, here's a thing. Like, I fried one of my clients' hairs. Like, I fried her hair off.
Yeah, I think we talked about that.
Dude, I remember, like, pointing it out to you.
Yeah.
Which, like, I promise I'm going to circle back to it being, like, a cool haircut. But something that I did during quarantine was we were processing outside. And I have a client that likes really funky colors. And we've always pushed the envelope. And I think we actually even talked about it on one of the podcasts recently here about how I got, like, the cleanest blonde ever.
You know what? I think we did. Yeah.
Yeah. And guess what? That was a one-time thing. I nailed it that day. It was unbelievable. And then the next time she came in, we did it again. And we flew too close to the sun. And Kid Icarus's wax wings melted off.
They fucking melted off.
Dude, her hair melted off. And I felt like such a dick. So last week she came in and her hair was... It was a chemical haircut, dude.
Yeah.
It was, luckily it's short, but it was fucked up. It was not okay. So we had to take it really easy on the color this time.
Yeah.
So what I did is, like, my autopilot kicked into this haircut better be really extra and cut a lot of cool designs in it. And don't get me wrong. I'm not like carving crazy cool designs, but just artistically placed nuanced details in the right spot, faded out. That was a fun haircut to me.
I thought it was cool. Like, I remember seeing it. It was great.
Yeah, I just felt like I had to do a little something extra to offset the damage I had done, pun intended.
Yeah.
That's probably the coolest haircut I've done in the past couple of weeks. That was a good one. And sadly, the inspiration was a negative thing. But again, we roll with the punches and we grow.
Yeah.
You know, and we found the edge. You know, like, it's okay to find the edge, in my opinion. It's like, you got to just... Push. Now I know that I can't push anymore in that department.
Yeah, 40 volume just doesn't fuck around.
No, it really doesn't.
It'll show you who's boss sometimes.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It really will. But I love it, man. I really do. 40 volume is amazing. You know?
Yeah, once in a while you got to do it.
Yeah. I remember when I was first learning how to do hair, there was a bottle of 100 volume.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember 100 volume. It was the thing. You were supposed to cut it.
Yeah.
But sometimes people wouldn't. Or they would cut it right.
I would throw a capful into my 40 volume balayage sometimes.
Just like learn
my lesson really quick.
A little nitrous in the tank.
Yeah, I cut some people's hair real short with that. So, yeah. You know, slow and low is a really good theory.
Oh, it's the best theory.
It's the best theory, you know? Like, I'll give it to Jack Martin. Like, you know, I don't understand how you have the time to process for 2 to 4 hours, but, like, the color comes out great. You know what I mean? So.
Well, that's the thing. I think that there's a misconception in color that 40 volume is going to lift more than 10. Yeah. And it doesn't. It's just a different timing.
It's a much different timing, yeah.
10's going to get there. I mean, we all lean on 20 and 30, you know, for most things. But 10 will get you there. Yeah. You just have to keep it moist and you have to let it ride.
Yeah.
You know, which time is money. So a lot of times we're not willing to do that.
Yeah.
But honestly, if you want to keep your clients, like the health of their hair in the forefront, slow and low is definitely the way to go, and that you can build from appointment to appointment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, Jocelyn, you know, I mean, the way I highlight her hair, she processes for an hour and 15 minutes.
I mean, which is insane.
It's crazy, but like, you know, I mean,
her hair looks great.
We live together, so like, it's not that big of a deal. So like, she can just sit there and deal with it, but like, it's not the most, you know, profitable thing at work for people to process for an hour and 15 minutes.
No, but potentially the right way to do it.
Yeah,
it is. You know, and that's the thing, because her hair is fine too. She's got super fine. Yeah, she's got a good amount. She has tons of it. Seven, but
like ash hair, you know, the standard like dishwater hair that turns super yellowy, like, unless you process it for a long period of time. So I'll do 20 volume in a foil and let it process for an hour and 15 minutes.
Well, that's the thing too, is like, once you put lightener on somebody's hair, and we get into a whole conversation about it, like, I hate the word bleach. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, me too. Bleach, paint or lightener?
Yeah, like, bleach is an adjective to what happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the end result is the hair is bleached out, but we don't put bleach on hair. We use lightener.
Yeah.
And we use really good high performance lightener.
Exactly. Yeah, this ain't no Clorox, man.
Yeah, it's not at all. But the thing about it is like, you put that on hair and you're going to jump from a level 5 to a 7 really quick, or from a 7 to a 9 super quickly. But to get from a dirty 9 to a clean 9.5, 9.75 is another 25, 30, sometimes 40 minutes.
And it could be agonizing.
And that's what we don't have the patience for. Yeah. You know, when we're booking somebody in a 2.5 hour spot, you throw that lightener on, you go clean your bowls out, you come back and you check on them, you're like, shit, this is working great.
Yeah.
Like, you just went from a 7 to a 9. It's an ugly 9, but we're going to get there.
Yeah.
And then you check on it in 20 minutes and you're like, man, it's barely moved. Mm-hmm. But if you actually wait, it's going to keep moving.
Yeah.
It'll keep moving. And the lower and the slower you go, the better the hair is going to react to it.
Totally.
Because, like I said, you throw that 40 on and you get there, so you're in a race car. Yeah. But you have no tires left, you know, like, you, your tank is empty and your tires are burned off.
How many people do you put 40 in a foil on?
None. I have one. No. And this was, well, that's the thing that's dirty about this is that 40 was on scalp.
Yeah.
In a cap.
Yeah.
So it was probably worse than a foil. I don't foil anybody with 40.
So I have one lady. She's got like, she's got level 5-6, more 6-ish hair, and she's got that like Lisa Rinna kind of hairdo. Kicks out.
Picture's been haunting me for more than a decade.
Oh, it's horrific. But hers is more spiky and textured and shorter than Lisa Rinna. And I mean, at the longest bit of hair might be 4 inches on her head.
Okay.
And it's so crazy thick. There's so much hair there, and it's so like coarse that, like, man, I started with 20 and nothing. I would,
yeah, laughed at it. It
didn't matter. Like, I would always have, like, you know, super yellowy gold, you know, highlights. And she really likes that contrast of like a 6 next to a 10, which is not my thing.
But, yeah,
like, that's what she likes. And
it's so in trend right now.
I went to 30 for a while, and then, you know, and we were just kind of like always toning down to like an 8 ash, And so I finally just said, you know what? I'm going to roll the dice because, like, if I burn her hair up a little bit, like, it's only 4 inches long at the longest spot.
Right. You'll be fine by next appointment.
And she's actually an ex-hairstylist. So, like, we talk about all that, you know? So I was like,
that's the best and the worst.
Yeah. Totally. So, like, I was just like, I'm just going to do 40. And she's like, all right. So I did 40. And it was like, you know, 25 minute processing time, super clean, like, level 10, like, man, it's like on point, so easy, you know. So
yeah, you just have to move fast.
Just went with it. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I do kind of like a partial highlight on her too, and I do like a chunky highlight, so I can move pretty quick between the sections, you know.
So are you slicing it? Are you putting it in foils?
No, I'm doing foils.
Okay, foil, so you're volume, weaving. Foil.
Yeah. Okay. I'm doing a weave, like a chunky weave.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not necessarily the look that I would go for. Or
you're not posting it on Instagram, but she's getting what she wants.
No, this is not even on my backup page.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it works for her. Like, you know, I mean, she likes it, so it works. But yeah, that's literally the only 40 volume foil that I ever do.
Yeah. I haven't put 40 in a foil in a long time.
I don't necessarily like, I mean, I don't really want to go there. You know what I mean? That's just not a place that I really want to be doing my work.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and like you said, even though you do it, it's still not the look you're going for. No, but I mean, the fact is that like, that's customer service edge. It's like, of course we want to do what we do, and we do what we do.
Yeah.
But like, sometimes you have to make somebody happy.
Yeah. You know? I remember like my tattoo artist. I remember one time like talking to him about like some of the worst things he ever does. And now he's got some more artistic freedom than I think I do. But like, because he was telling me about like, you know, he worked in a college town for a while, and these girls would come in and they would want white tattoos, like tattooed with white.
Yeah. Yeah. They show up under a black light.
Yeah. You can't really see them. And he refused to do that. And then there was a couple other tattoos that he was like, I just won't do that. And then other than that, though, he's like, I'm pretty much wide open. He's like, I'll do pretty much anything. And now he's way too busy nowadays to do like trash tattoos. But like, I mean, he was the same way. He was like, it kind of hurts my soul to tattoo some like, you know, Japanese symbol in the back of somebody's. Like,
yeah, it's got to be tramp stamp. It's got to be hard to do like a tribal arms, you know, like armband.
Yeah, yeah.
That you know, awesome. Yeah, you know? I mean, for sure. I get it.
I mean, we are artists, but we are also customer service experts.
Right.
So, like, we have to do this stuff, but yeah, it's tough. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, it's a beautiful place. I mean, you have so many stylists and tattoo artists. They get to the place where, I mean, when they're smart with social media and you brand yourself and you say, this is what I do. Mm-hmm. And then people seek you out for what you do. And then you don't have to deal with that bullshit anymore.
Yeah.
You don't have to do a tribal armband if you're marketing yourself properly.
Yeah. You should do, like, if you don't want to do that, just make your Instagram handle, like, you know, Jay, the guy that never does tribal.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Dreamcatcher hater.
Well, the reason I say that, I actually went to the local school, like hair school, the other day. And I did a whole class on like social media and how, you know, as a new hairstylist, you can brand yourself anything you want to be. So if I wanted to be Jay the Pompadour expert, that's all I got to call
myself. Yeah, that's your name.
Is put myself as Jay the Pompadour expert Asheville and hashtag everything Asheville Pompadour, like men's guy, blah, blah, blah. Like you can be whatever the heck you want to be right now.
Yeah. Well,
you and just call yourself that and push it as hard as you want to, and that's what you are.
Yeah.
Even if you suck at it, people will come see you.
Yeah. No, I mean, the thing that is cool about social media is, well, it's also the same thing that's bad about it, is that you put out there what you want.
Yeah.
So you can brand yourself anyway, but, you know, there's this thing too where things get lost in reality.
Yeah.
Like, you're still a human. You still got to do all these things, but you know, like so many times on social media, people put out like things that they want people to see. Like, look how great my life is. And it's just this negative facade that they put out there. But with what we do, honestly, you really can do that. You could be Jay the Pompadour Master, and that's pretty, it. Yeah. You know,
I could be like Jay, the guy that only faints the left sides of your head.
Right.
You know, and everybody would come to me and be like, I heard you're freaking awesome at the left side fade.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Love that. Yeah.
I got you, bro.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out like what kind of ridiculous thing. I mean, the left side fade is pretty strong.
Jordan, the reverse mohawk, dude.
Yeah, just you just shave the middle out on everybody. Like they sit down, it literally clipper width.
That's it.
Just top to bottom.
That's it. I guess you want to wonder it too.
Yeah, it's $400 either way.
Yeah, and they take ridiculously detailed photographs of them, like under like black light.
So. Yeah, super artistic. Yeah. I think that my handle for that would have to be reverse hawk goat. That would be like,
oh my god,
or the goat of the reverse hawk. That's kind of long though.
It doesn't matter.
It's it doesn't matter. You're right. Yeah,
don't mess with perfection.
All right, so I need models for that. I need to do a reverse hawk now.
Jordan Carlson.
Yeah, he who winks.
Yeah, he who
winks. Hit me up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Totally doing it.
Really cool. So there's some website in New York, one of the girls was talking about, it's like the Craigslist for hair models. Man, I feel like I'm really, like, dating myself and making myself look uncool. But, like, in New York City, there's some website.
That's brilliant, dude. Yeah, I love that.
Used to get hair models. We need the same thing here. So if anybody knows about that, just please send me a message on Instagram.
Yeah, double if you want the reverse hawk. Yeah, because it's gonna happen.
So I definitely want to give a shout out to Hannah here in Asheville. She's been hooking us up through Humble Hairdressers. She picked up one of our kits today. She's gonna go rip some homeless haircuts tomorrow with the Asheville Survival Group. And I think that's really awesome. Thanks, Hannah. You're the bomb.
Yeah, honestly, dude. Like, I mean, that event we did, I mean, I guess it's been a month ago now. It was really, it was a well-curated event. They had everything there.
They had ice cream.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, which nobody wants now because it's cold. But seriously, it was hot then. It was like, they did have it all, though. Like, so, yeah, go get it, Hannah. Like, you can use our tools. You can borrow our stuff.
Yeah.
Anybody else that wants to, like, get out there. That's how all this started is, like, I was trying to do some good in the world. And it's awesome to have people like her that want to do that. They want to extend that, like, olive branch into the universe and say, I'm here to help.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Yeah, you know, when my mom calls me and asks me if I went to Mass on Monday because my family's Catholic, I say, no, Mom, I went and cut some homeless haircuts. You know, that's how I think God's going to be okay with me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I can kind of tear it up on a Friday night and then go cut homeless haircuts on Sunday. And I think I've just balanced everything out.
Is she proud or disgusted? You don't have to go on record here if you don't want to.
I don't know, man. But, like, I'm just kind of joking around. Like, I definitely feel like it just makes you a better human being to give back like that.
You know? Well, no matter what you do. No matter what you do, like, we all have the opportunity to make the world a better place, and we can take from it or we can give to it. And whatever you give, you definitely get back twofold. Yeah,
you definitely.
There's like, that's a universal law. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, we have a special privilege in this world that we can make people feel good so quickly and so easily. And it's pretty awesome. So,
yes.
But, man, this has been fun. This has been a good podcast.
They're all fun, dude. I'm into it.
Yeah. By the way, supposedly mouthwash helps with COVID-19.
Oh, that's right. You popped that story before we started recording.
We were going to talk about that. So every time you wash your hands, rinse your mouth with mouthwash.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good way to go.
So you know what? Actually, so what's the rule? 20 seconds for a hand wash?
20 seconds for the hand.
So that's ABCs twice is what I've always done when I wash my hands.
Bro.
So how about you wash your hands and your mouth at the same time? Mouthwash, the same duration you're washing your hands.
There you go.
And we might be able to knock this thing out.
There we go. We're going to be good to go.
It's Listerine. It's not just for alcoholics anymore.
No.
Anti-COVID.
Yeah, we're going to go from 50% capacity at the salon right back to 100 in no time. Just get some mouthwash.
Yeah.
So, anyway, great episode. If you guys really want us to answer any questions, just send us a DM, Humble Hairdressers on Instagram. You can send us individual messages on Instagram as well. No big deal. Thank you guys so much for listening. Really appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, homie.